Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, you are live with Pastor Lou and
Pastor Rebecca
of the Maryland Altar, broadcasting out of Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour, and we have a special program and segment coming up. As a brief announcement, some administrivia out of the way for next Thursday. Rather than the midnight hour, there will be an 8 p.m. national call to repentance with the pastors of the United States of America and the children of the Lord of the United States of America. And as far as we know, this has never been done before. And we hand it off into the well-able hands of the Holy Spirit to accomplish what the Lord would have us to accomplish. And that is national repentance in the United States to turn from sin, to turn from our sinful, wicked ways, and return to the Lord. It's not a suggestion from the Lord, and it's not an idea from the Lord. It is a commandment of the Lord. At this hour, 11:33 Eastern p.m., on May 2nd, 2013. May 2nd, 2013, 11:33 p.m., and we are live. So for next week, please prepare in righteousness and in holiness and in intercession for the United States of America. And we'll go into more details later. And for those that are just tuning in, a little background, what the Lord is calling, what the Lord is speaking today to the United States of America and to the remnant bride and to the remnant church in the United States. And as background, we covered Acts chapter 2 in the last segment. When the mighty Holy Spirit showed up, in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and we see the Lord do something that was prophesied and promised long ago by the prophet Joel, that the Lord would pour out his spirit upon all the flesh of the children of the Lord, and that it would be a new day for the church and for the children of the Lord. We see Peter in Acts chapter 2, prophesy and exclaim the exact scripture in Joel 2:28, and so it is today. And we're seeing a global revival throughout the entire globe and in small pockets in the West, not large pockets at all. The remnant bride is coming forth Very similar to what we see in the parable that Christ gave of the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. We'll go into more detail of that later. But this is the global background and just a little bit of background, what the Lord is speaking today, where the church is and where the church ought to be, and that is where the Lord is taking her. And so the call to national repentance is to understand that the Joel 2:28 revival is indeed a repentance revival. The church thought something else and obviously thought wrongly. For the United States, when we teach revival, they're almost always passing around a money basket, much carnal activity that's engaged in the flesh, and very little of the Spirit of the Lord, very little of the kingdom of the Lord, the kingdom of God. But this revival and this call to repentance is to prepare the bride, in a sentence, to prepare her, to prepare us to enter into the kingdom of God, to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. And we say that and we read that, and it's often misunderstood, because to prepare for the coming of the Messiah means that we prepare to present. That means stand before the Messiah, similar as you would to prepare to stand before a judge. And all of the protocol and all of the fright that goes with it, the reverential fright, if you will, and this is the judge of the universe, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that we're preparing for. It's not a light matter. It's not a humorous matter, and it certainly isn't a carnal matter. And so the Joel 2:28 revival, where the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit to prepare for the coming of the Messiah so that we can present before him, not naked and shameful and exposed. And we read through Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Where the Lord is speaking to the church of Laodicea. Now, we covered the background that the entire Western world qualifies as the church of Laodicea, the one that says she is rich and has need of nothing. Yet the Lord says she's naked, pitiful, wretched, and blind. And we see that the spiritual blindness today. We see the wretchedness in the house of the Lord today, where there are more believers outside of the house than inside. And inside the house of the Lord, we've ordained homosexuality. Even right here in Washington, D.C., one can get married as a homosexual in the house of the Lord. And to make matters worse, we can also ordain homosexual ministers in the house of the Lord. And so sexual sin of all manner, be it pornography, be it perversion, even down to the abominable homosexuality and bestiality, the church in the United States has become numb and anesthetized to sin. But those days are over. And so the Lord is calling us to repentance, just as he spoke to the church of Laodicea, which he speaks today. For we serve a God of the living, not of the dead, and his word never dies. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never perish. He's calling the church and commanding it to repent. And we saw that and read it clearly in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, and specifically verse 19. So for this evening, at the prophecy of the midnight hour, we'll walk through Isaiah, one scripture, actually just two verses, in Isaiah, beginning with Isaiah 35, chapter 35, verse 8. This is Isaiah 35, verses 8, 9, and this is the highway of holiness. I'm reading this out of the New King James Version, beginning at verse 8, Isaiah 35, verse 8. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed, we're in verse 9, but the redeemed shall walk there. This is the highway of holiness, the roadmap that the Lord has given the church. The commands that Jesus spoke specifically to the church of Laodicea. In fact, 6 out of the 7 churches in the book of Revelation are called and commanded to repent. It's important that we distinguish that it's not an idea, it's not a suggestion, but it's a direct command from the Lord Jesus Christ, the boss himself, in the book of Revelation, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so he's speaking to us specifically at these last moments of time. And we all know that time is over. We know that time is out. And we see all around us an unsustainable world, an unsustainable economy, an unsustainable culture where everything hangs by a well-worn, fragile thread. At this late hour, the Lord is calling us to repentance. And it is the grace and mercy of the Lord that heaven is still open, that we can beseech the Lord, and we can turn from our ways, and we have the opportunity to agree with the Lord and repent. This highway of holiness, this road that the Lord is showing us in Isaiah 35:8, is to walk in agreement with the Lord on that road of holiness. For we know what Scripture says, that two or more cannot walk together unless they are in agreement. And so we walk with the Lord in agreement on the highway of holiness. And notice the Lord says, whoever walks that road, although a fool, shall not go astray. For when we walk with the Lord and trust in him, we do not go astray. Though it may seem foolishness to the world, it is great wisdom, both in the word and according to our Lord himself. Where it's the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. And we know today that the church has become carnal and has feared flesh. And it's clear that she is showing no wisdom at all. For there's no fear of the Lord either in the house or in the business or in the marketplace. And all the children of the Lord, it seems as though it's in great debauchery, where the word of the Lord is non-effect. And it's as though everyone is going about on their own way instead of the Lord's highway, his highway of holiness that he's commanded and given to the end time saints to walk in agreement with him. And that's the road that leads to the kingdom of God. It's holiness and righteousness, walking in agreement with the Lord. And the Lord tells us in Isaiah 35:8, the unclean shall not pass over that road, for it is holy. It is the Lord's road, destination, kingdom of God. It's not destination, worldly prosperity. It's not destination, carnal gratification. It's not destination, popularity and comfort of this world. Its destination, that highway of holiness, to the kingdom of God, our heavenly residence and citizenship that the Lord Jesus paid for by the blood and the cross. These are serious, weighty matters, but also very good news that the Lord has provided a way and given us clear instructions on repentance, clear instructions on walking in his ways and precepts, and he's given us the support of the mighty Holy Spirit, the one that Jesus said would teach us, would counsel us, would guide us, and yes, even comfort us, and he is known as the great comforter. So we are not alone, though it be dark, though it seem impossible, for in the flesh it is impossible. Jesus himself did not deny that and said, therefore, with God, all things are possible. So the highway of holiness in Isaiah 35:8 is the road for the church to walk once she enters into that wilderness of repentance with the Lord and turns from her ways that we've seen in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, specifically the commandment of the Lord, or Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And as a brief recap and background, I want to share some repentance scriptures that the Lord has given the church and his children and that have stood for a long time and oftentimes, or most of the time, I should say, ignored in the house of the Lord and rarely even taught upon. We have Daniel chapter 9. Verses 3 through 6. For Daniel repents for everyone in the nation of Israel. This was at the time of the Babylonian captivity. And one man stepped forward and repented on behalf of the nation. And we see what the Lord did with Daniel's prayer and with Daniel's repentance for Israel. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. Here, Nehemiah repents for everyone, himself included, as well as the nation of Israel. This was Nehemiah's prayer as they came back to the land of devastation after the Babylonian exile. Job chapter 1, verse 5. And here, Job repents for his family and intercedes on their behalf. Almost on a daily basis, as we read in the Word, in case someone from his family had sinned against the Lord and did it out of ignorance, or he didn't know about it. 2 Chronicles 7, verses 14, which we all know, this was the instructions the Lord gave, and that we see in 2 Chronicles, to return to the Lord so that he would heal the land. This is one of the few scriptures that actually is taught in the United States of America. Unfortunately, it's a repentance where everyone recycles right back to sin and does not walk the highway of holiness. They do not show any of the fruits of repentance. So this isn't about saying, I do no more, and then return back to it. This is about walking in agreement with the Lord. This is the repentance John spoke of when he said, show fruits of repentance as the Pharisees and Sadducees came forth. The highway of holiness is the walking with the Lord. When we are walking with the Lord in agreement, we will show the fruits of repentance. Matthew 3, verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8, is the call to show fruit that we see from John the Baptist. Matthew 3, chapter 3, verse 2, is the call to personal repentance. And finally, or not finally, next to the second to last scripture, just for the evening and references to write down, is Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Ignorance is not an excuse anymore. So while in times past, the church and the bride has wandered about doing her own thing and could have claimed ignorance, at this late hour, ignorance is no longer an excuse. And we can see that given all the signs about us, just in the world alone, one doesn't even need to be that much, doesn't really need to possess that much perspicuity, doesn't need to be a Sherlock Holmes, if you will, either inducting or deducting how calamitous it is today in the world. And it doesn't matter what country you go to or what continent you view or what lens you view it through. So from a cultural perspective, we see fomentation that is global. That's exactly what Jesus told us, kingdom against kingdom and nation against nation. It doesn't matter what economic lens one looks into. There is joblessness and homelessness in America at record pace. And so it is in Greece and in Spain. And if we turn our attentions to the Far East, we see similar situations in China and in Japan even. And these are well industrialized, allegedly or ostensibly successful economies. As we look at the wars that are global as well, one cannot claim ignorance and say, oh, we didn't know this was a different time. We didn't know that the Lord was calling us to repentance. For we know the whole creation speaks of the glory of the Lord. And just as Jesus was speaking and said, how is it that you can see that today it's fair or tomorrow it storms, and you cannot see the signs of the time? Surely, even the unbelievers, those not of the house of the Lord, those that don't call themselves by his name, they see that things have changed and that planet Earth has never seen this before and she's never been this way before. And so we see consternation and fear and calamity all about us, even in the United States of America. And we see record levels of obesity and divorce and violence and drug addiction throughout the land. So the days of ignorance, that it's not time to repent, they are over. For unless one is a cadaver, that you can't simply miss it. It is everywhere. Finally, we have Revelation chapter 2 and 3, where six out of the seven churches are commanded to repent. And it bears repeating, it wasn't a suggestion, and it wasn't a good idea. It's a commandment from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And with that, I want to check with Pastor Rebecca if there's anything you would like to share.
Thank you, Pastor Lowe. We, in the New Testament, have a correlation with Isaiah about the highway of holiness, the highway of holiness in Isaiah 35, chapter 8. And it is the virgins, the 10 virgins that are mentioned in Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 1 to verse 10. However, as you read through verse 1 to verse 10, you find that in this parable that there were two roads. There was the highway of holiness that five of the virgins took, the wise virgins that had extra oil in their lamp, and through another segment that we did, we had said that according to Psalm 119:110, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we study the Word, live by the Word, believe in the Word, for Jesus is the Word, according to 1 John. verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. So that light of the Holy Spirit shines forth through and illuminates the highway of holiness so that we know which road we're on and which road that we should be following. However, the other five virgins who did not have the extra oil in their lamps turned away when they were awakened by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the crier, and by the revelation of where it was that they currently were at that time, the position where they could turn and go in a different way, which is what the five foolish virgins did. They went back. They did not go forward. They went back and they did not have the oil, the necessary oil in their lamps, the relationship with the Holy Spirit of the mighty living God, the relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father, in order to direct them and their feet in the right way. And by the time they came back to the right path, the door was shut on them. But hallelujah, the door is still open. And Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And if anyone opens the door unto him, he will come in with them and he will dine with them. And you can dine on the Word of God with him. Hallelujah. And dine in the truth. For in another place in the Gospels, Jesus said that the Word of God is the bread of life. And we definitely need life. And we need that bread. And we need to feed on that. So if we would be as the five wise virgins, through repentance, we can come to the place in God where we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Repentance means to change. The Holy Spirit enables us through his power to change and do what is necessary for us to continue on the path of righteousness. He will guide us. And as Pastor Lou said, he will comfort us and lead us. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, the Lord says in verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons." We've had earthly fathers, mothers, what have you. Even it's just different situations where a natural chastisement made itself available to us. For instance, if you drive too fast, you're going to swerve off the road. If you have, if you hit a pothole or something the wrong way, it means slow down. So that's a natural consequence to driving too fast. So we learn sometimes that way. However, they're immediate consequences. God is long-suffering and loving, and he is very kind and very patient, awaiting the fruit that was won by the cross of Christ, and it was brought forth by the power of the blood that was shed on the cross. And the fruit is you and I. And he is awaiting us. He is awaiting the day that we could be in that place of possession. hallelujah, of the kingdom of God, where we may enter in. So, in this, our fathers, earthly fathers, mothers, they immediately discipline us or put us in a timeout or do whatever in order to dissuade us from the behavior that we had that caused or brought grief. We obeyed our earthly fathers or mothers. We adhered to what they had said, and we had taken their advice because we had felt the discipline that was immediately given unto us. Our Father is so long-suffering, our Heavenly Father, that He allows discipline to come to us and chastisement to teach us because He loves us so much. We are so unworthy, but He loves us so, so much. And He wants all of us to come to everlasting life, that none of us should perish. He wants all of us to walk on the highway of holiness. So when those markers are up there that are telling you you're going the wrong way, heed them, adhere to them, repent immediately, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to get back on the highway, to walk in righteousness and in holiness. Do you have anything to say, Pastor Lou?
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Rebecca. There's a caller on line one, and I'm going to try to pick this up. We did a test last Monday, I believe, or Sunday, Sunday morning, and it actually worked. So let me try and... Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I was just
shalom,
listening.
Shalom. And how shalom are you?
You? I'm okay. Thank you for asking.
We are...
Thank you.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. We are what?
We are mobilizing now for national repentance here in the United States of America. And we have mobilized many pastors to begin the process of repenting for all the sins and iniquity, both in their own homes and their church, as well as the land of the United States of America. And as you've been listening, has the Lord shared anything in your heart about repentance and what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you?
He has shown me, as I've been listening, I was just listening to her speak of the light. And as because He has shown me the light. And I did backslide, and I came forward. And one thing I do, He showed me a scripture in Jeremiah, I think it's around 32. He says, backsliding women, because I have shown, I have done a new thing. Women will come press the man, and that it's like a compass, like the true north. Compass will show us the true north, and that the ability and following God's path will keep me forward. Yes, He showed me repentance, that I needed to kneel down and repent for my sin.
Amen. The Lord, here's what we're seeing. We're seeing that the Lord is speaking to His children throughout the globe and in the United States of America, that He's preparing their hearts, that He's preparing the hearts of the children of the Lord, and that now is the time that we prepare for the coming of the Messiah. Because I think we all know that the church has been taught and the sheep have been taught a very casual relationship with the Lord. And so we see all manners of sin that have overtaken, even in our own homes. And we have seen in the church as well, this casual relationship that at the root has actually changed the holy and righteous God to sort of like a big brother who will tolerate almost any sin. Because after all, we're taught falsely that there is so much grace. And there is grace. There is grace to overcome. And there is grace to walk with the Lord. But he's still righteous and he's still holy, and it's not a license for us to sin. And I want to thank you, caller, very much for calling in and sharing that, because this is a consistent theme that the Lord is preparing the hearts of his children throughout the land of the United States of America. I want to quickly turn back to Ezekiel 34 as a memorance and the foundation where we started. And this speaks of the fallen shepherds that have not fed the sheep. They have fed the sheep a watered-down gospel. They have fed the sheep junk food at best. And here's what the Lord says. Son of man, Ezekiel 34, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the spiritual shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe to the spiritual shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You kill the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. The diseased and weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The hurt and the crippled you have not bandaged. Those gone astray you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought to find. But with force and hard-hearted harshness you have ruled them. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild beasts of the field. And my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yes, my sheep were scattered upon all the face of the earth, and no one searched or sought for them. That's Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 6. And the good news the Lord gives us in verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and shall seek them out. And this scripture is fulfilled today. For the mighty Holy Spirit is preparing the hearts of the children of the Lord. And the mighty Holy Spirit is seeking out the lost in the house of the Lord. And for, we say it before, and it's worth repeating, unfortunately, but there are more of those outside of the house of the Lord than there are believers on the inside of the house of the Lord. And the Lord says, I myself will seek out my sheep. I will rescue my sheep from the mouths of the shepherds, that they may not be food for them. Because we've seen the false shepherds and the false pastors and the false prophets exploit the sheep for money. They have exploited the sheep on a daily basis for tithes and offerings, where it's become expensive to be a Christian. They have manipulated the sheep with a watered-down gospel, a feel-good gospel that cannot rebuke sin. And so the sheep are wounded from the exploitation. We see merchandise in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord has become a marketplace and a business place. But those days are over, for the Lord says, I myself will seek out my sheep. And there are many that have left the fallen house, and they say, oh, there's no righteousness there. There's no holiness there. They know that the Spirit of the Lord has long since left the building, for the shepherds have decided to serve another god. And so the Lord is seeking out his sheep and preparing their hearts. And we've seen this from coast to coast in the United States of America and from border to border and ocean to ocean. that the mighty Holy Spirit is preparing the children of the Lord, that they would walk with the garment of righteousness that we see in Revelation 19. It's the righteousness of the saints. It's the garment of the Lord. It's that which enables us to walk with the mighty Holy Spirit on that highway of holiness so that we are prepared to present before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A quick editorial update. I'm going to check with Pastor Rebecca. Someone wrote in and said only five of the seven churches were commanded to repent because there was none specifically from Smyrna. And that's correct. Smyrna was encouraged to continue and persevere if they could hear what the Spirit of the Lord was saying. In fact, Smyrna is an excellent church type example against the church of Laodicea, for Smyrna was poor and almost the exact opposite of the Laodicean church. Here in the United States of America, it may be arguable today that we are the wealthiest nation on planet Earth, but clearly in the United States we are one of them. And we have a merchandising business mentality in church that is a great sin and abomination before the Lord. Remember that Jesus beat the merchandisers out of the marketplace of the Lord, and that was the outer court. Whereas today, in the house of the Lord, we can do bake sales and book sales and tape sales and video sales inside the building of the house of the Lord, not even in the outer court. And Jesus beat them out with a whip. What do you suppose the Lord would do if he were there today with a whip? Not a very attractive sight, but thank God that the portals of heaven are open, that the church now today has the opportunity to come before the Lord and repent. And we see the churches in Revelation commanded to repent and prepare for the coming of the Messiah. That's Isaiah 35, verses 8 and 9, the highway of holiness, the roadmap the Lord has given this church today, the United States of America, his people that call themselves by his name, to prepare for the coming of the Messiah and to walk in fellowship and in agreement with the Lord, where righteousness is a more important currency than the dollar which has become the altar of Baal. It's become the same altar that we see all of the false prophets and all of the false apostles and all of the false pastors and teachers bow down to. And so while we may no longer have the Ashtoreth pole and the physical altar of Baal, it's clear that the altar of Baal has been placed throughout many of the churches, and the children of the Lord, some of them even unwittingly, are bowing down to the altar of Baal. For they've been deceived into thinking that money is their God. They have been deceived into thinking that prosperity is their God. And after all, the flesh likes prosperity, and the flesh likes comfort, and the flesh likes money. And this is an easy gospel to sell, which is exactly what we see, and then the merchandising of the blood of the Lamb. These are just some of the sins that the church in the United States of America needs to repent of nationally as well as personally. For many have been beguiled and followed just such a gospel, some even well-meaning, and thinking, well, these are good things. And in fact, they are. We know that all good gifts do come from the Lord. But we also know that the Lord has called us to righteousness and holiness, and he has called us to repentance. And we cannot bribe the Lord. Remember, the word is clear. Obedience is better than sacrifice. The Lord speaks that through Samuel, and again, through the Gospel of Mark, where obedience is better than all of the burnt offerings. and we walk the highway of holiness in agreement with the Lord, in fellowship with the Lord, and in obedience to the Lord. And with that, I'll ask Rebecca, is there anything you'd like to add?
I just wanted to bring the example of the caller that we had. I am so delighted that we had an opportunity to share in your experience of waking up by the power of the Holy Spirit and hopping onto the highway of holiness and onto the right road and leaving the road which is not the one that you were to be on, that God has predestined, ordained you to be on the highway of holiness and walking faithfully in that. Is there anything you'd like to say, Lou?
No, next week, about ready to recap and close for this evening. Next week at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, that will be May the 9th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, will be national call-in. If the Lord has placed it on your heart to repent, and as we have heard and as Rebecca shared and as the caller shared, there are the children of the Lord's of the Lord that are hearing, that it will be a national call for the pastors and for the church for repentance in the United States of America. There has been a remnant group that has been repenting on a weekly basis on a national conference call. It's not something that we've ever seen done over radio, and so we thought we would first broach with the interest of the church at large nationally in the United States, and as the Lord leads, and take it from there. But it's clear that we started all the way back at the inception, and we read through Ezekiel 37 in the Valley of Dry Bones. We know that nothing but the power of the mighty Holy Spirit is going to resurrect the dry bones in the United States of America. And we found out that the politics aren't an answer, and we found out that money isn't the answer, and we found out that the change always got worse, and we found out that all of the things that the world and the false teachers and pastors taught was a lie, and all the things that were experimented upon also were miserable failures. And now the church is returning to hear the voice of the Lord and to return back to the highway of holiness, to return back to the ways that the Lord has called. For she has seen the prosperity gospel and the damage and carnage it has created, and how it feeds just the flesh, and how there's no power in that gospel. And so as the Lord continues to awaken the bride, as Pastor Rebecca read the Matthew 25, 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, the Lord is calling the United States to repent, to prepare her lamp with the oil of the Holy Spirit, and to return to the Lord in thanksgiving and in humility, and in a repentance that shows fruit, the actual fruit of repentance that we know only the Holy Spirit can produce. For no one can even change a hair on their head, or can change even 1 inch of their stature. These are the words that Christ left us with. These were the instructions that Christ gave us. For he said such a day would come. He spoke again through Timothy, or to Timothy, through Paul the Apostle. And we see 2 Timothy chapter 3, that perilous times would come in the last days. And here we are, and we see the lovers of money and the lovers of self. And we see the love of many wax cold. And we see scripture filled before and fulfilled before our very eyes. With that, we will circle back onto the next segment on Sunday. And in the meantime, please prepare for the coming of the Messiah. Intercede and pray on behalf of the land of the United States of America, that the remnant bride would be prepared for the powerful, glorious coming of our Lord and Savior. For would it not be an abominable miss if after all these years the church were to miss the coming of the Messiah and to be left behind in a world that is clearly perishing? Pastor Rebecca. Okay.
Amen.
Shalom, shalom. Be blessed. May your spiritual ears be open, your spiritual eyes be open. A fresh, new level and anointing of the Holy Spirit, as prophesied in Ezekiel 47 as well. But if you were at the ankle level, the Lord would raise you to the knee. And at the knee, the Lord would raise it to the waist. And if walking at the waist level, anointing of the Holy Spirit, it would be a river that no man can cross. The scriptures and outline are found on highwayofholiness.us. Everything is free and available. That's www.highwayofholiness.us. There's also free DVDs and End Time Miracles of the Lord, including HIV, AIDS Healed, and Leprosy. And as a first-hand witness to the End Time Revival, I can attest to them. And the videos are very good quality, and you'll see the doctors and the physicians, and you'll also see millions gathering at the Lord's meetings. And these are things that only Mighty Holy Spirit could accomplish, that only our God could do. And these are the signs and wonders of the end time revival that were prophesied long ago by Joel 2:28. And we are fortunate to actually see this day and be eyewitness to the events and the workings of the Lord. And with that, shalom, shalom.